You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 993. In this episode, we're discussing headless WordPress, Astro, and AI. Just some small subjects. We've got a real expert in the house. We've got Brian Calds, which is the developer advocate for WooCommerce and works with Automattic. So it should be a great discussion. So, Brian, would you like to give us a quick 10, 15 intro? And when we come back from our break, we can then go in more detail about your background.
Yeah, I'm a developer advocate at WooCommerce. So I work at Automattic and work on just kind of bridging that community with the internal team at WooCommerce, kind of learning what the community wants and making sure they're educated of what's going on at WooCommerce.
That's fantastic. And I've got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más, and we work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic as well.
Yeah, I thought I would have Brian on the show because I thought he could give us some real insight about AI, WordPress, what might happen in the next year to 18 months. Should be a great discussion. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta. See site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Also, want to take the opportunity to tell you that we got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins, services, and technology, all with some special offers included as well. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. You'll find all the goodies there, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I've made a career of disappointing. Come on, Brian, that was quite a good one. He's looking a bit stern. No, he didn't think much. Oh, he's smiling there.
I'm waiting for it.
All right, there we go. I don't know what you're waiting for. So, Brian, maybe we can go into a little bit of your background. You know, how did you get into web development? Then how did you get into WordPress? And what has led you to this role? Before that, how long have you been working for Automattic, actually, Brian?
10 months, maybe.
All right. So then maybe at the end, how you got into this kind of semi-new role with Automattic?
My background, I came out of college and was actually an English teacher, and I taught high school, college English for a little bit. And then things happened in life, and I was doing a lot of websites and ended up switching to that career. Worked at nonprofits, worked on website building, turned that into freelancing and building a lot of WordPress websites. And then that turned into working at an agency, which I spent maybe just under 10 years kind of in the agency space and building, you know, kind of classic big WordPress sites, multi-sites, that kind of stuff. Did that for a long time. And then along the way, I just started writing, making videos, that sort of thing, and wanting to get more involved in the WordPress community, contributing, all that sort of stuff. And eventually decided that I wanted a job where I could do that more full-time, you know, more writing, teaching, community stuff, going to events, that sort of thing. And so that's basically what a developer advocate does. So I kind of set my sights on that job and looked around for where they were, and WooCommerce was the place. And, you know, of all the places in WordPress to be, I think WooCommerce is a good one because it's big, it's popular, it's knows who it is. It has a huge community, a huge ecosystem. And it's just, it's never not interesting being at WooCommerce and Automattic, you know, it's never a dull day. So, that's kind of the long winded version of how I got to here. And yeah, like I said, it's been about 10 or 11 months. So I'm still probably learning a lot about WooCommerce and the ecosystem, but yeah, it's been fun so far.
That's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
I find the whole WooCommerce thing incredibly interesting, Brian, because it seems like, you know, there's other carts that try to compete, and they seem to fairly simply put out a cart and people use it. And then when you get into Woo, there's the cart, and it's a full cart on its own, but then it's just got so many different extensions, and then other providers that are in that extension space. It just seems like it's infinitely customizable to whatever needs an e-commerce person would require. That's the way I see it from the outside looking in. Is that like the attraction for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, before I started here, I didn't do a lot of e-commerce. That just wasn't the niche that I was, the sites that I was building. So I kind of didn't have a full grasp of like the scope of it. And then since I've been here, I've kind of seen like, I mean, e-commerce is a whole separate industry. WooCommerce is almost like a whole separate community. And yeah, there's a lot of other WordPress competitors. And I think it's normal and people can kind of come in later, but WooCommerce has been there so long. So it kind of has the double-edged sword of a huge history and a huge user base, but also like backwards compatibility with a bunch of, you know, extensions that were built, you know, 10 years ago. So it is kind of big and it is kind of crazy. And I think the thing that I've learned the most is that no two WooCommerce stores look the same. They all have, you know, 50 different extensions on them. They all have a specific weird thing that they want to do with their products at this exact moment when this thing hits the cart and this needs to go this way. And, you know, everybody wants it very unique. That's kind of why they go to WooCommerce. And so, you know, there's, I think it's, if you want the simple cart, there's probably some pretty good plugins. But yeah, WooCommerce is sort of the elephant in the room because it's just been battle tested for so long and people have literally done anything with it. I mean, I see the weirdest stores sometimes. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, to your point, it's super stable, right? So people really seem to rely on it. Back over to like the reason for the show. One of our questions was, if we see a lot of like people in the online space interested in like headless stuff, right? Headless solutions.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like the three major tools that we see are Astro, Replit, and Lovable. And I hear a lot of great things about Lovable. People really seem to love Lovable. But what are your personal thoughts kind of on like this headless space and where people are going with these types of tools?
Yeah. And like, do you mean specifically ones that are like these more AI driven builders or just headless in general?
Well, we don't seem to make a show lately that doesn't mention AI. So I would imagine, I would imagine we do kind of focus on AI, but it's just interesting to see where headless is going, how people are using it. And then kind of, yeah, you know, are people really over leveraging AI or trying to do crazy things in the space?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a WordPress issue, which is WordPress was the easiest way to get things up and running on the web for so long. And so it kind of, you know, it hit that natural saturation of the market and it's kind of, you know, it's still growing. It's just in terms of relative share of the internet, it's pretty big and it's going to be a lot harder to get any bigger. And, you know, these other tools now can come in and what used to be really hard, which was putting stuff on the internet, is now pretty easy and there's a million ways to do it. And so I think that's just a normal maturity of just how important the internet has become. You know, there's some of these tools are better at certain things. WordPress has always been kind of just generically good enough at anything that you could use it for. But I think a lot of the weird things that we used WordPress for in the past might not be the case anymore. And I also think, you know, if you want to put up a simple landing page, do you need a 40 megabyte CMS, you know, to download and throw on a PHP server with a MySQL database and all that? So like, do you really need all that for a basic marketing site or a basic, you know, five pager? I mean, maybe not. That's probably not the place to go. That's if you can do that with Astro and write a couple markdown files and, you know, throw it up on a super cheap Netlify plan or something. Like I can definitely see the value there. So I think WordPress is just going to continue being best at what it's best at, which is people with a lot of content and usually a team of people that are managing that content and need to collaborate and do it. So I think you're not going to see headless take over big news publications or big nonprofits or higher ed or all that stuff. I think you're still going to see WordPress win in those places. But I think for a lot of us who kind of maybe came up making five page brochure sites or something, yeah, I could easily see I'd much rather probably jump on Lovable and have it spit me out the same marketing site that I've been building for the last 10 years in about, you know, 10 minutes. I can see the appeal there. So it's hard to make predictions. It's a weird era that we're in right now, but I think it's just about WordPress kind of knowing who it's good for, and maybe it's just a different size of the market.
Yeah, it's super weird because I'm still in the agency space, right? And so I've got certain clients, and I really address like two verticals in our agency. I'm really looking for those big enterprise e-learning people where I can convert their SCORM content into, you know, e-learning projects, big sites, lots of content, like you had mentioned. But then we just have like this whole vertical column of like startups. And I don't mean to oversimplify things, especially for people that make their living like we do. But I mean, you can literally just say, okay, I'm going to throw in Astro or Cadence, right? And on a WordPress, write a paragraph. It comes up and says, these pictures make sense. These colors make sense. This format makes sense. And you can do it with the customer if you want. You know, and you can go help them pick it out. You work right through it. And then boom, you've got a first draft of a website done. And it's up. And so when I see these other, in my town, we have a guy that makes like SaaS, you know, AI websites for people. And he advertises them that way. And people get excited because it seems new and cool. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they're just really simple sites that don't have the ability to scale or structure or add function as their business scales, which I think is where WordPress is still strong.
Yeah. I mean, if you have plans for a website to grow into something, or if you have really strong opinions on SEO and a really strong content strategy that you're going to be executing, then you're going to want that kind of control. I think there's a lot of people who build marketing sites for other people, and they manage the content. Like they don't even really let the customer edit the content, right? The agency manages it. They kind of control everything. And at that point, it's like you could do it in WordPress. You could do it with a, you know, simple code tool. WordPress is really handy when you have non-technical people that want to edit things. And I think that's still what makes it better. So if you're having non-technical people and they want to sign in and add the new course, and they want to sign in and add the new product, and they want to add the new blog content, you're not going to want to give them any of these other tools. And you're not going to want to give them, you know, especially an AI that's going to give you a different response every time or rewrite your entire code because the AI just likes to rewrite things. Yeah, then I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do think people will have to change their business models a little bit right now.
Yeah. Jonathan?
Yeah, I just want to point out I've got a choppy internet connection. So it's I've been following you, but hopefully it won't cut out. So the reason why I put this question in, Brian, is that I'm in kind of two worlds. I'm in the world of WordPress and education, but I also follow a lot of people in the SEO space. And some of these people, they've really been pushing Astro because it produces non-JavaScript code. And tools like Lovable, they can take what Lovable, put it through Astra, and it's blazingly fast, or they reckon it is, because and they want to build websites, but they also want to build what they classify as web apps. They want to build functionality that adds more value to pages. And so they're not developer types, but they're quite experienced in building websites. So there's about three or four of these influencers in the SEO space that I follow. And they're really kind of pushing at kind of WordPress's. And we've had this before, haven't we, Brian? This wave of enthusiasm about headless. And it's been around for about 10 years, hasn't it? And it comes and goes. But they're kind of pushing this concept that using WordPress as a content management system, but with Astra and these AI app website builders. I don't know if you've been following similar conversations. That's number one. And number two, what you think about those kind of ideas. And maybe you can give us your thoughts about Astra, why you think it's an open source project, isn't it? But it seems to be very popular at the present moment. So I've given you kind of three areas there. Choose your poison, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's always going to be a market for influencers in the kind of like digital marketing space to pitch the next new thing and the latest and greatest. And I think that's just a normal situation. And there's, you know, like WordPress, we've seen, you know, that like we've lived through all the different versions of that. You know, like 2 years ago or a year ago, it was Webflow. Everybody needed to get on Webflow. And I'm sure Webflow is still, you know, doing great and it has a big audience. And there's always some new thing. I think it just really depends on, you know, I don't ever look at the technology as like the leading decision maker. So I don't say like, I'm out here looking for WordPress sites and I want to do WordPress work and I want WordPress. It's sort of what's the project and then what's the best tool for that project? Who's going to be editing it? What are the stakeholders? What is their budget? What are their goals with it and all that sort of stuff? And sometimes it's going to be WordPress, sometimes it's not. But obviously influencers, that's not how they're going to work. They're going to try to sell something fast and easy. And that's just normal. I think we're kind of used to that set of it. Astra has gotten really popular. You know, every tool has its like pros and cons. And so in some people like...
Can you give us a quick outline what it is actually, in your opinion?
Yeah, I'm not like a huge like user of it. I've been so deep in like the e-commerce space where like you're not seeing a lot of that stuff. I think like what people like about it is you really separate the front end code from the content. Whereas WordPress has really gone the opposite with page builders and stuff, which is, you know, my content is really tied into the code. And if I want to go, I want to visually edit and all that sort of stuff. These headless things, they kind of go back to separating it, which is I'm going to maybe fill out a bunch of fields or markdown files or something over here. And I'm going to let a designer just turn that into a nice landing page. And I think there's pros and cons to it, but I do ultimately think that the visual building that you get with something like a WordPress or Webflow, I think that's going to win out in the end. I think at the end of the day, it sounds really cool to separate that stuff and give everybody, you know, here's all your content. Just go manage that in a one place and we'll handle the design and we'll have total flexible freedom on it. I think ultimately people want to log in and they want to see what their content's going to look like when it's published. And that's just going to never go away as a way people want to build.
I'm getting the vibe that let's talk about Lovable. So what Lovable is kind of, because I've got a friend and she's a chief technology officer and she just loves Lovable. She's just been singing the praises of it. But I'm getting the impression that you're not buying in the Kool-Aid so much. Is that about right?
No, I mean, I think there's definitely places where there's value in these sorts of things. And especially with Lovable and Replit that really are more AI first. So it's the code is an output of the AI. Whereas like Astro, like I'm sure most developers are using AI to generate it, but the code is sort of the primary thing. Replit, Lovable, these ones, it's really the selling point is the fact that you're using AI pretty much exclusively to manage it. I think there's value in that. I think that if you are selling a product that can be replaced by an AI, then you should probably start pivoting your business. You know, I have like, if you're selling something that somebody can go to Lovable and generate something of similar quality, then yeah, that's not a good thing for you. But if you're offering something that's a little bit above that, then I don't think you need to worry about it. But yeah, I love these things. I just think that the real money is, you know, in more complicated stuff. So at the end of the day, there's certain things that you're just not going to trust to an AI without wanting a human that you can say, I gave you money, now do exactly what I said and figure it out, versus an AI, which will take your money, but like not always get you what you want. You know, you can yell at it as much as you want, but sometimes you just need that human that you can ultimately will be responsible for it. So
yeah, I agree with you. I see where you're going, because I'm some of these SEO influencers, they tend to dismiss their own experience, like they've been building websites, building online businesses for a number of years. So I think they tend to underestimate their own knowledge base, even though they're not a developer. I think the other thing is, and I'd like to get your thoughts before we go for the break, is that there seems to be a lot of, I don't know how to quite put it fairly, anti-WordPress ideology, where it's slow, but I think a lot of people, it's about the quality of the hosting, it's about the quality of the plugins you're using. Having this freedom, as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, but not abusing that freedom. And what I mean by that is installing 100+ plugins on the site and be on very cheap hosting and really expecting that it should be blazing fast. What do you think that's some of the things that's given, like WordPress, it's slow kind of, this kind of mythology that it's slow. Well, it's slow if you do all the things I've just outlined. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think hosting is absolutely number one, the most important thing. And I think it feels like we should be able to have cheaper WordPress hosting. But I think at the end of the day, if you're not paying a certain amount of money, you're just going to get slow sites. And I understand like the desire for a, you know, $3 to $5 a month host. And if you're okay with the slow performance, that might not be an issue. And there's a market for that and stuff. But knowing that like that's not the way WordPress is supposed to be, and you really do need like a good $20 to $30 a month managed host if you really want a good performance site. We see that a lot with WooCommerce especially, because a good amount of the performance problems are, I mean, hosting number one, then plugins number two. Like hosting number one, absolutely the first thing you can invest in to speed up performance easily. Plugins number two. But I think we're going to see a shift as people are, you know, we're already seeing this, which is, oh, well, I edited the plugins. I let ChatGPT rewrite the plugin and I let it add some functionality and now I can't update the plugin, or now I broke this other thing. It's going to be, you know, I think it's going to get pretty good at that stuff. And I think, you know, we're going to see some ways to improve it. But yeah, WordPress is 20-year-old software. So yeah, it's just going to be built a little bit differently. But yeah, hosting and plugins, these are the things that, you know, and I think also people that just don't build good sites. That's what I love about WordPress, is anybody can get started and anybody with no technical knowledge can start building websites. And I think that's great. And I started that way. But a lot of those people, and I was probably like this when I started, are just going to build bad websites, you know, like that's just the case. And as you move up the agency chain, you start getting those clients that had the bad website person, and then they come to you and their budget's a little bigger and you give them the good website. And, you know, that's the normal life cycle of the WordPress ecosystem, I think.
Right. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I feel like we kind of touched on it, but I do want to explore the question deeper. You know, you mentioned AI and security and stuff. Just today I saw where Katie Keith had posted, someone had a problem with their plugin update, and it turned out that they had modified the code with AI. And then of course we're going to her for support, right? So that's one thing. I also saw last week or 10 days ago where Brad from Web Dev Studios was hired to audit a plugin for one of their clients. And you know, found over 100 security problems with the plugin. I almost want to phrase it like from an agency perspective. Like, we have a customer that comes to us that has a pre-existing website, and you try to do a needs assessment, you try to do discovery, but if people are actually using AI to edit the code in the back end of a plugin, and then that rears its ugly head 8 months into a contract, you know, you're kind of dead in the water and out of luck, right? What are your thoughts on where this is going, and how do you think that this might pan out for folks, especially on the agency side?
I think AI right now is just what it was maybe 8 years ago, where we would get clients and they would come in and they'd say, well, we wanted to save money, so we hired this offshore developer, you know, in another country that was pennies to the dollar. And nothing against offshore. Like, there's obviously in WordPress, there's amazing developers around the whole world. That's not the issue. The issue is just that they were trying to find the cheapest solution and that person edited the plugin files. Like, I mean, that was a thing that was happening 8 years ago. So I don't think it's new with AI. It's just now this is just an easier to access, you know, sort of low budget developer.
Just simplified.
It's just, yeah, it's just now we all have access to it. I think on the flip side, every time I think AI has hit a little bit of a ceiling, it cracks that ceiling. So I don't want to like say this is as, you know, AI is not going to get good enough to do it. It's already better than the cheap developers. That's for sure. I think it's, you know, there's a whole separate question of like how much it really is costing and what it's going to really cost when these companies actually have to start being profitable. But I do think we should expect that AI development is only going to get more and more advanced. But like I say, like you do need that human. You need that, you know, Brad Williams from Web Dev Studios to do the final look at it. Will we need that in 12 months? That's, you know, that's another question. So I think what's going to be interesting is that whether we like it or not, WordPress has always been hackable. It's always been something where you could crack open the code and edit it. And I think that's a good thing. And I think what it's going to be now is it's up to, I don't know, hosting companies, product companies, Automattic obviously is trying this, which is figuring out a way to make that a safe, reliable thing that you can do, which is, can I open my WordPress site, let AI loose on it, and actually trust that it's not going to break things or it's going to do it in a staging environment or something? Because that's what people are getting with things like Lovable and Replit, and that's what they're getting with these other platforms that like Astro, where they're developing locally with Claude or something like that. So WordPress is going to have to offer that at some point. And I think, you know, we're already seeing it with some of the stuff Automattic has, like Telex, which is like a little AI that builds blocks for you, these sorts of things. Like, we're going to see it because it's not going to go away. And I think it's just going to be the expectation that like, yes, anybody should be allowed to ask AI to write some code for you. But if your website is, you know, a huge e-commerce store or a membership store where you're processing payments and all that stuff, then hopefully you're not doing that. And hopefully you weren't doing that in the past with, you know, cheap developers, and hopefully you're not doing it now.
Yeah. It's interesting. In the post status, you know, agency calls sometimes, you'll see where some agencies, like, they won't even work on pre-existing projects because they're afraid of the liability that might come with that baggage. And then there's other people that are all about it because they're like, well, whatever you got, I can probably make it better, you know? And so it's an interesting kind of dichotomy in the way people address, you know, especially what's happening right now in that space.
Well, like, software feels intangible because, no, you know, you could have, nobody knows how much work it really takes to build a website. Nobody knows how much code was really written. Like, the code itself and the software, your clients have no idea. They come to you with an idea. They go, that'll take 5 hours, right? And you're thinking, no, that's 50 hours. It's just hard for them to wrap their head around. But they're now going to think, well, it's going to take 5 hours because you have AI. I know that for a fact. They're going to feel that the code itself is not as valuable. So you really do have to come with the other expertise, which is, I think, what people have been telling agencies all along. You got to have the marketing expertise. You got to have the structural expertise. You got to know how to set things up. Because one of the things that shocks me sometimes is there are WooCommerce stores that are huge and at like huge volume, huge payment volume. And they don't even have a developer. They just, like, the owner of the business just goes in and clicks update on the plugins and hopes for the best. And they're, you know, processing thousands of dollars an hour. And you're thinking, you, with all that money coming through your store, like, you know, you don't want to just maybe hire like one developer part just to keep an eye on it for you or something. It's crazy though, you know?
But
that does speak but to the reliability and stability of it.
Yeah.
But do you think they really understand what they're in? Or do you think they think in some way they've got a kind of version of Shopify? Do you think they really understand and they're just tight? They basically don't want to spend the money. Or do you think it's a mixture of both? Or what do you think? That's amazing what you've just said.
I mean, it must be like a cost benefit analysis to them, which is like, how much downtime might I cause myself by breaking a setting or something versus how much it would cost? You know, if it was me, I'm the kind of person where I value my time more than my money, and I'd rather pay somebody to do a certain thing. Some people, they're the opposite. They value their money more than their time, and they're willing to put the time in. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. That was an insight. I think it's been a good discussion, folks. We're going to go for our middle break. We've got some other fabulous questions, topics to discuss with Brian. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion with Brian. Before we go into the second half, I just want to point something out to you. If you're looking for a great hosting partner and you're building a project in the e-learning, in the community space with either Fluent Community, BuddyBoss, Lifter LMS or LearnDash, why don't you look at hosting with WP Tonic? We offer a lot more than fabulously powerful hosting. We become your true partner. We offer a suite of the best WordPress plugins and technology. Plus, we can consult with you if you anything around the project. We are your true partner. So go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So let's go forth then, Brian. So I think in the next year, 18 months, we're going to go through some of the biggest changes in software and in WordPress that we've seen in quite a long time. There's some probably people going to get the impression that all they watch is YouTube, but they might be right, actually. But there's a couple of people on YouTube that been senior in software development, had senior positions and been consultants. And they've been saying lately with what Claude has been doing and Perplexity, that software development is just going to... the bottleneck has been in development resources is just going to go away. The pinch point is going to be getting your software in front of the users and basically marketing, you know, or building a community or having any of your end users being interested in it. That's where, but the the normal pinch point of development, a minimum viable product, and then building it out, it's just going to fundamentally change. I don't know about that because I just don't have enough technical knowledge. And then you've got other people. Now, I use a lot of AI products, a lot of them. A lot of them that you see reviews and then you spend a little bit of time are at best extremely disappointing. Some have functionality that actually helps people, but a lot of it is inflated at the present moment. So this has been a very long-winded question, but hopefully you've got the patience for it, Brian. What are some of the biggest trends that you think are going to happen over the next year? And in AI and WordPress and vibe coding in general, where do you think we're going to be in 12 months, 18 months time?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Obviously, any prediction, you could be wildly wrong. I don't think it took me a while to even admit AI was, you know, going to get as good as it's already gotten. It, you know, I was late to agreeing on that. But I do think, you know, I go back and forth on it. I'll see it. Like, I think the guy that made Claude Code or something tweeted recently that, you know, all he'd uses is Claude Code for everything and Claude Code's going to replace everybody and everything. And it's like, I don't know. It's like the guy that, you know, made Kraft mac and cheese saying, I'm on the Kraft mac and cheese diet and everybody's going to be on the Kraft mac and cheese diet. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're making a lot of money. People are trying to. That's going to go away, and it's definitely, we're going to get better and better developers. And I think that writing code is probably going to be a less profitable thing. But then what's weird about it too is, like, you could go to Facebook or Netflix and they'll pay you $400K a year to write code, right? There's these overinflated salaries in coding, and you have these companies that don't make any money. And the, you know, if you go to Claude and you pay per the API, $200 gets you about 10 minutes. If you pay them the $200 a month max plan, you get all this unlimited, but it's clearly not profitable for them. So there's all these, you know, questions that have to be hammered out.
Well, they're intangibles, aren't they, Brian?
Yeah, that we're not going to know. But, like, do I think that humans are going to be sitting down writing code? You know, probably not. But I also think in WordPress, a lot of people weren't writing code.
We've
the last
discussed
five
the thing
years.
About vibe coding, building the whole website for you, and I've got mixed feelings about that. But then, do you think vibe coding and Lovable and some of these other they're kind of coding editors on juice, basically, aren't they? Do you, in your heart, do you think it will accelerate the software development process considerably?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that writing code has never really been the bottleneck, though. Like, that's not, you know, like when I look at WordPress or something, the problem isn't that people aren't writing enough code. It's that they're not solving the user experience problems to make the software better. They're not marketing it, growing it enough. It's all these other things. Honestly, you could give someone 100 developers and get them writing more code and maybe you'll ship a bit more features, but, like, that's not really the problem. So yes, it's going to definitely mess with people who just write code for a living. But right now, I still think we're in a good place where your expertise is really valuable. And I think if you have expertise for setting up sites, setting up complicated workflows, for working with businesses, helping them optimize their marketing, all this stuff, I think it's only going to, like, it's, you're in a good place right now because you just basically have access to cheap, free, subsidized labor, and you should be able to sell that. And I think WordPress kind of needed this because we had a wave of, I think mobile design was like the big wave of WordPress. It was like, get your site mobile responsive. I need a new website. And everybody got a new website and we built all these responsive websites. And in the last, you know, few years, it's been kind of like not the best for agencies. It's everybody's been kind of feeling a little stagnant. Now here's a whole new crop of things that people think they need for their website. So I think it's, I think it's going to be really great for a certain segment of the, you know, people with certain skills. But yeah, I barely write code very much anymore. And Claude writes a lot of code for me and it's getting very good.
Yeah, I think you made some excellent points there, but he's dropped out. Hopefully he's coming. Your picture disappeared. All right. No signal, but we continue to see if you...
I can switch camera if I need to.
Yeah, sure. I think you made some excellent points there, Brian. I'm going to ask you another impossible question because I haven't made my mind up. Is AI going to really hit like Shopify or let's say Wix harder than it's going to hit open source project like WordPress and other open source projects? I wonder or is the pain going to be spread evenly anyway? Have you got any sense there? Because I haven't made my mind up there really.
I mean, I think what's nice about WordPress is it's not like there's just one company that has to come or go. And honestly, WordPress, I think, has shown that it doesn't have to ship a lot of features to stay relevant. It's not like it's changed dramatically in the last 3 years or 5 years. Actually, I think a lot of people that live in Elementor or something like that, like probably haven't seen anything that's come from WordPress. Everything to them has come from Elementor or come from their page builder. I think WordPress is fine. I think these big companies have some issues. I'll switch my camera in a second. But I do think, let me just switch my camera because I...
Yeah, sure. No problem. I just want to say something. You know what you were saying, Brian, about the AI, the YouTube influencer and that, and my obsession in watching all these people. I like to point out, folks, I've got it playing in the background when I'm actually doing something. is that I don't even know if these people are for real because they could just be an AI avatar, couldn't they? I don't even know if they're real, half these people.
I mean, I think, and we're probably on the cutting edge because we're in the tech world. I mean, I don't know if you have like a partner or friends or something and you ever open up their Instagram app. You know, it's kind of amazing how much AI is getting fed through all this sort of stuff. Well,
I can watch some TikTok, but that's probably even worse. That's the Chinese government, isn't it? But it's, talk about AI slop everywhere. There we go. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, this is a unique question. I kind of like this one because it lets us know kind of like who we're all paying attention to, right? When we think about some of the individuals in the WordPress community or, the outward stretches of the community, are there people that you follow in the WordPress space or are there people that you, that impress you or that you have really good relationship or admiration for in the space that you could give a shout out to that maybe listeners and viewers follow them on X or something after you say the magic name?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's two very opposite people that I follow the most. Sometimes follow, sometimes you have to mute people for a little bit. That's just life. But I would say,
you mute me, Brian. I don't blame you if you muted me. I try to mute myself, Brian.
Yeah. I'd mute me if I was someone else. I think in the WordPress, in the block editing space, I think Mike McAllister, who has the Ollie theme, is worth, because I think he's kind of like carrying that banner forward. And I was just working on a site with Ollie, and he has so many little like nice things he adds to it. Really good.
I've been trying to get him on the show. He did say yes, and then I haven't heard anything. I will make another attempt to persuade him to come on the
show. Yeah, you should get him on.
Yeah.
And so I think he's gives you a good sense of the block editor stuff. And then my complete opposite pick is I will check in on Kevin Geary every once in a while. It's like the opposite.
Kevin doesn't like me anymore. He doesn't like me anymore. He said some nasty things about me.
I don't know if we're friends or enemies. I've met him in person. He's a nice guy. I just,
he's not nice to me. He said I interrupt. Oh, I do though, but there's an element of truth to it, but I've got broad shoulders. But yeah, I think he's gone off me, Brian, but there we go. I think it had something to do with, I said, you're a troll. I don't think he liked that, but there we go.
Yeah.
But there we are. But no, he's highly intelligent, and he's building something in Etch. That's interesting, isn't it, Brian?
I just think that it's two extremely opposite approaches.
Yeah, it is.
That's what's interesting. Etch is, you're going to write a bunch of code yourself and you're going to completely author everything. And then Mike's kind of like, I'm going to use the full page builder and I'm just going to have everything. And I just like seeing the two different, you know, obviously different people have different workflows for different reasons and stuff. So I kind of feel like I learned the most seeing their two different approaches and stuff. And this is just on work stuff, not on anything about personality or anybody arguing about things. I just, as far as like what you can learn about WordPress, I think those are two good people to follow.
Yeah, I agree with you. Last question. So, and you can't say coming on this show, Brian, that you can't say that one. But my last question is, if you could go back to the beginning of your career and you had a couple of minutes to give yourself a quick pep talk, a quick tip, insight, what would you say to yourself at the beginning of your career, Brian?
I think probably the most important cliche advice, at least for me as a person, this may be different for other people, is the kind of like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I think that when you first start in, I think the first thing you got to start doing is just thinking about how people are going to know you, what they're going to know you for, if you're going to make friends, build a network, help people out, be helpful. Just, I think the earlier you do that in your career, I think that just makes it so much easier. It's, you know, you could be a really good developer or whatever, working in your lane and stuff. But I don't think if you don't build that kind of network of people around you and just like be a part of something bigger, then I think it makes it a little bit harder later in your career. So I would say that's kind of the first thing. Cause at the end of the day, like technical experience is only so much, and who you know and who wants to have your back in the community is really important for your career. That'd be my advice.
Right. Are you okay to stay on for another 10 minutes? We have some bonus content. So we're going to wrap it up now for the podcast. So Brian, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
So my website is just my name, briancords.com, where I try to blog and newsletter and stuff. I do still hang out on Twitter because it's the only place where I find WordPress people. And then if you're interested in what we're doing at Woo, if it's developer.woo.com, has kind of our developer blog and everything that we're working on and what's coming in new releases and that sort of stuff.
And Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Kirk?
Well, for business, Mañana No Más, we're mañananomás.com, and then Mañana No Más on all the social channels. And then if you just want to connect person to person, LinkedIn is my jam. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, so it makes it easy.
It does. All right, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show, folks. You'll be able to see the main part of the interview and the bonus content by going over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. And if you could subscribe to the channel, that really does support the show. Plus, if you're listening to this podcast on your mobile device, on iTunes or Spotify, why don't you leave us a review? It's really very easy. You just have to scroll a bit and review comes up and you can leave us a review. And I do read the reviews. So if you want to upset me, leave a bad review. That's very entertaining. I'm sure Kevin will. But there we go. I can't resist it. We're going to call it a day now. Like I say, we're going to do some bonus content. We will be back next week with another great show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.